So many souls have tested him throughout the course of time. So many still reach out to him with broken hearts and minds. And every one of them will say, without exception, that they find that Jesus never fails. Even in the days of old, he brought his people through. Then he came to show his love and died for me and you. And then he rose again to prove that every story had been true, that Jesus never fails. Jesus never fails. Jesus never fails. You might as well Satan, you cannot prevail, because Jesus never fails. Sometimes this world brings trouble I find so hard to bear. I know I could not make it without Jesus being there. It's so encouraging to know, however deep you're in despair, that Jesus never fails. So what can I do to prove to you? Tell me, how can you deny? No untold facts, no mysteries, it's all so cut and dried. And on the witness stand of your life, I'll be the first to testify that Jesus never fails. Jesus never fails. Jesus never fails. You might as well get thee behind me, Satan. You cannot prevail, because Jesus never Jesus never fails. You might as well get thee behind me, Satan. You cannot prevail, because Jesus never fails. He never fails.
Amen. What a great truth, isn't that, church? Jesus never fails. We're going to be in Mark chapter 5 today. Great book of the Bible. I got like three laughs out of that. That's all right. I was working on that one all morning too. Mark chapter 5 on your Bibles today. I want to give you a challenge here just for a second before we get to the scripture reading, but we're in Mark chapter 5. Tomorrow, I believe, is a very pivotal and important time for our country. We have a nation in many ways that has turned against God. And I believe that God has given us a space of grace, a moment for our nation to turn back to God that truly I don't believe that we deserve. That we don't deserve God's grace. And I've said it before, I'm looking forward to the next 4 years to seeing President Trump, to see how we can turn our country back to what is right. I don't believe in many ways that he is a moral person in some ways, but turning our country back to him, to the Constitution, to doing what's right. And I believe it's important as Christians that we now more than ever pray for our country. Unless if we wait till it's too late. And many times that's what we do. We wait till the emergency light, the sirens are blaring, the smoke alarms, and realize there's a problem. And as Christians, we better wake up and realize that it's time for Christians to act like Christians. That we'd pray for our country, that we'd be a light in this world. Again, I'm excited about inauguration the next 4 years, but President Trump is not our Savior. If we believe that he's turning our nation back to God, we're wrong. There's many ways where I believe he'll turn it to what's right, but that's where we need Christians to live and to act like Christians should, to pray and to be a light in this world. Because as we've seen for many years, the ebb and flow of the leadership of our country and how there's those that are trying to turn it back towards right and those turning it back the other direction. And as Christians, we better take this opportunity and take it seriously. And so I just want to encourage you about that. Very important time, praying for our leaders, whether we like them or not, praying for our leaders of our country, whether it be local, whether it be national, praying for our leaders. And it's important for us as Christians, again, taking this time seriously. And so I just want to give you an encouragement about that today. Mark chapter number 5, and we're going to stand to our feet and look at verse number 25 and read down to verse number 34. Mark chapter 5. In verse number 25, Mark 5, verse 25, it says, "And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus," think about that for a minute. When she heard of who, church?
Jesus.
She heard of Jesus. That Jesus was coming her way. Jesus passed by. When he heard of Jesus, came in the press behind, and she touched his garment. And she said, "If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole." And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, "Who touched my clothes?" Don't you love the disciples' answer here? If you know the passage, how they responded to Jesus. And his disciples said unto him, "Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?" Rebuking Jesus, there's people thronging you, mobs around you, and you ask, "Who touched me?" Jesus asked for a specific reason, and this was for the purpose of this woman, but also for everyone around her. Many people thronged and, I believe, touched Jesus that day. But one came to Jesus by faith and said, "If I can just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be whole." Others came maybe for a show, then maybe to see someone to get healed and just to see and to be by Jesus. But someone came that day to be healed. And he looked about in verse number 32. It says, "To see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace, and behold thy plague." I want to preach a message today about from hopeless to healed. From hopeless to healed. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you'd help us, Lord, to get our attention, our hearts, and our minds on the Word of God today. May we put aside the distractions and silence the phones and ignore the things going on the rest of the day, Lord, because you have come into this house. You've come into this place. You want to speak to hearts and lives. I believe today, as you did that day, that you came to speak to someone. Are we ready to be listening, to be healed, to be ready? Speak to our hearts. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. This woman, an issue of blood for 12 years and went to many people, couldn't be healed, and came to see Jesus. What a great thing. As Jesus would come by to different cities, there'd be thousands and thousands of people that would throng and to follow him, to listen to Jesus, to maybe to see a miracle, maybe to be fed, maybe to accuse Jesus Christ, whatever their reasons were. Mobs of people came out to see Jesus, to heal him. But there's different times through Jesus' earthly ministry where he would come and he would touch someone and heal their eyes. He would touch them and he would heal their deaf ears. He would pick up their hand and he would help them to receive strength to walk again. But there's a couple times where someone, they came to Jesus to touch him. They came to touch Jesus Christ, the Son of God. This woman came not because she had everything figured out, not because everything was going good. She came because she had a problem. And she had a problem this world could not answer, the world could not help her with. They had a problem that only Jesus Christ could heal and could help. An issue of blood for 12 years that the world could not seem to solve. Does that sound true today? People today that have problems? I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands, but you have any problems today? You're like, oh, give me a few minutes. Give me a pad of paper or a phone if you're young people and say, we've got problems today. And the problem today is more than that TikTok is out. The Lord has healed our land today, has cleansed us of this unrighteousness. People, young people today are like, what do I do with the rest of my day? Because TikTok is not running. I don't know why it's running. Don't tell me. I don't really care to know. Just the fact that it's out. That's good, all right? But honestly speaking, though, that you say, I came to church today, I've got problems. And not in a sarcastic way, but personally, with your family, with your loved ones, and your home, say, I've got problems. That it seems that no one else and nothing else has helped or healed or anything. My question to you today is this: have you brought it to Jesus? Too many times we take our problems and take them to try to get solved everywhere else. And then we think, well, when I've tried every other avenue, what do, church? When you've tried everything else, what do? Well, I guess it's time to pray. Isn't it sad that as Christians even we have that wrong attitude? God, I've done everything else. And then all of a sudden God pricks your heart and you think, you know what, but I never stopped to pray. I never stopped to bring the issue to God. Maybe you have a trial today that seems to have no end. This woman had an issue of blood for 12 years, and it seemed that this issue, as it was said later in this passage, a plague, that it seemed it was not going away. It seemed to be a life sentence that she would end with, maybe even a death sentence, not sure of the issue, but it seemed to maybe have no end. Have you ever faced a problem that seems to not have any answers? You've sought and you've searched and you've done all that you can do and it seems to have no answers. Maybe you're facing a problem that seems to be hopeless. And even as a Christian, even as a saved person saying, Lord, I know you can do anything, but we've got to the place sometimes maybe where we say, God, maybe just God can't do anything about it. Maybe a lost person today that you've been searching and trying to do everything on your own, but you're leaving out the most important part. And you're leaving out Jesus. This woman today, she went from hopeless to healed. We see this passage in the story here. It begins, first of all, with an incurable disease. And it says in verse number 25, she had an issue of blood for 12 years. And in verse 26, and it says, and she had suffered, the Bible says, many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing bettered but grew the worse. She had an issue that no one else could help and heal the problem because she was trying every earthly avenue to try to fix the problem. You know what the world today, what we try to do to fix problems? Well, if you put more money towards it, it's going to fix it. That's what the government wants to do. Just put more billions or trillions or add more zeros to it, spending money we don't have to issues that we're just adding fuel to the fire and saying, well, I'm just going to add more money to it, it'll fix it. Guess what? You can't add a bunch of money to problems to fix it. I wouldn't mind if God gave me more money to help to try to solve. No, but an incurable disease. She sought every earthly answer she could. The Bible says that she suffered many things of many physicians. She went to every doctor of the day. And if you've ever had physical conditions and ailments, I am not against having doctors. I am for them. And she went to every doctor she could to go and set up every appointment and to get healed. And she tried every remedy they had. And if you have a physical condition, you probably get every cure in the book, you know. And somehow essential oils, I think I've heard, can heal everything that you have. I'm not sure if that's true. Keep them away from me, you know. I don't know what you have to do. But she went to every physician she could to try to be healed. And it didn't work. It was another failed attempt, another failed attempt, another failed attempt. And I'm sure through each physician visit and every remedy that she got, she'd think, maybe this is the one. And she probably lost faith each and every time and thought, it's never going away. I'm stuck with it. An incurable disease. But next we see that she had a worsening condition. In verse number 26, it says, she suffered many things of many physicians And if you ever go to the doctor and you think, I wanted to get better, not worse, and they keep poking and prodding you, and you're like, leave me alone. Just stop it. And the condition seemed to be getting worse. She'd suffered many things of many physicians. And look at this, though. And when she had spent all that she had, all the amount of money that she had could not fix the problem. Maybe she was wealthy, maybe she was poor. We don't know, but she put everything she had in to trying to solve the problem that she had. Again, every earthly avenue she had, she found it, but unfortunately found that each of them had a dead end. Spent all the money she had. And then it says here, it says, and she was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. The condition seemed to be getting worse, whether or not it was the blame of the physicians or not, or the condition that she had. The more that she sought the physicians and the longer the time went, she didn't get better and she was getting worse. And you know what? In our own sinful condition, as we realize that the more we try in our own strength, the more we try to figure things out and impress God with our good works, and God says, you're not getting better, but rather getting worse, trying to do it your own way. Are we foolish and prideful enough to think that somehow we can impress God on our own? That somehow we can impress God and say, God, I don't need the Bible, but I can figure it out on my own, until you realize eventually the hard way. Do we have any hard heads in here? Right? You're going to keep trying it. It's not going to work. But you think, well, if I wrench on it even harder, maybe it will work, right? If I bang on it some more, maybe it'll work. And well, hard-headed people, sometimes we are unprideful, thinking if I just keep trying it, but it keeps going a dead end to a dead end to another dead end. And she didn't get better, but she got even worse. You know, this is what happens when we try to fix things in our own strength without trying to get God as a part of the equation, right? And at some point, we don't like this, to saying, there's nothing that I can do. No one likes that. You got a problem and you think, there's nothing that I can do to fix it. There's no education, there's no YouTube videos, there's no doctor, there's nothing that I can do. And then God says, that's exactly where I want you. You ever been there before? God, I've tried everything. And you stop and say, God, it's in your hands. You know what? We don't like that, because that's an uncomfortable place to be in, isn't it? And to say, God, I can't do anything and things are getting worse. And God said, guess what? Bring it to me and I can take care of that for you. I can help you with that. Things seem to be getting worse. She was trying to fix it all on her own, but left God out. Many times things have to get worse before they can get better. Sometimes because we ignore them, other times because we're not bringing the issue to God. We see next here that she realized at some point she was getting worse. No one had the answers to her problems, but then she got to a point where she had a desire to get to Jesus. In verse number 27, it says here, and says, and she, when she heard of Jesus. Now, I was thinking about this when I read the passage here. Was this the first time she heard about Jesus? Jesus had done the miracles, and just before this, he had healed the maniac of Gadara and healed this man that was in the tombs and cutting himself and crazy man, and all of a sudden he left sitting and clothed in his right mind. Maybe the fame had spread. Maybe the news had spread that Jesus could heal, and people started to hear, who is this Jesus? You say the Son of God, the King of the Jews? Maybe it's the first time she heard of Jesus. Maybe it's the first time Jesus was coming through this place and she could have seen him. Either way, someone had told her about Jesus. Christians, that's why it's so important for a Christian to speak up about our God. You say you've got a problem. Have I told you lately about Jesus? You say I've witnessed to them before. We'll witness to them again. You say I've prayed for them before. We'll pray for them again. Say I've encouraged them with Scripture before. Encourage them again. Say you're trying everything else, but guess what? Is not working. But let me tell you about Jesus. Let me bring you to Jesus. How about this? Let me go with you to Jesus. And when she heard of Jesus, she found out who Jesus was. I think about that time in my life where I didn't know about Jesus. I didn't know about God. I didn't know about heaven or hell, but I remember hearing about Jesus. I remember as a 9-year-old boy going to the Sunday school class of Brother Gene Beck. And he was an old, short, chubby man. And he taught us the Bible. Little boys Sunday school class there. And we probably third, fourth grade class there. And he would teach us the Bible. Remember, he gave me my first Bible that I have. I still have it at my house. And I remember it was in that class, we'd learn about Jesus. And we would learn the scriptures. And we would learn Psalms 23. And I remember that terrifying day where we memorized that passage, that psalm, and we had to quote it in front of church. I was terrified. I wanted to skip church. I did not want to be up there. But I remember this, though, that I was thankful that someone told me about Jesus. There's many people today that have never heard once the name of Jesus Christ. And we'd be foolish to think that it's only people that live in other countries. There's people that live in America that have never even heard the name of Jesus Christ. They need someone to tell them about Jesus. And guess what? That someone is you. That someone is me. She heard about Jesus. She heard how Jesus could solve her problems, that Jesus could heal her. She found out where Jesus was. Maybe she found out where he was going to pass that day. I think about it. If Jesus was coming through Redding, California, I don't care what's going on, I'm going to see Jesus. I don't care what I have to do and what I have to push out of the way, I want to get to see Jesus. She found out where Jesus was. They said, he's coming through here. He's coming through our town. She said, I've got a problem. And he is God. He is the Son of God. He can heal. He can solve all of my problems. And then next, she found out how to get to Jesus. She found out about Jesus, but then she found a way to get to Jesus. In verse number 24, it says here that when Jesus went with him, that much people followed him and they thronged him. I don't know about you, but I'm not a big fan of crowds. I'm quite the opposite. If there's a crowd of people, I'd rather not be in the crowd of people. You ever get to that place where in your crowd of people and you feel like you're going to get run over if you stop, you know? We went to Disneyland a few years ago, and the girls were in, we had a double stroller, and we had the foolish decision to go before Thanksgiving. And there was every person in America at Disneyland at that time, and we're pushing a stroller around, and you couldn't move without, I mean, you were shoulder to shoulder almost the whole time. And I'm pushing the stroller, people keep cutting in front of it, and I just kept thinking, I'm going to take out their ankles. Not on accident, but on purpose. You cut in front of me again, I'm taking your ankles out. I have no other choice. I'm trying to turn the thing around. But then sometimes I'm like, I'm just going to get them just because. Say oops, and they'll probably think it was an accident. Probably not the right thing to do. But just thronged and mobbed. And I think of Jesus Christ like that. And he was mobbed around him, people everywhere. But there was one lady said, I don't care what the obstacles are, I'm going to get to Jesus. I don't care how many people are there. I don't care who knows that I'm here or not. I'm going to get to Jesus. In verse number 27, look at the verse. It says, and when she had heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind. This isn't the press that we think of today. The mobs of people, and touched his garment. I can imagine her getting close to Jesus, and as people were all around her, I can imagine her just reaching through, kind of like that kid that's trying to see through the crowds, to see the parade or whatever, jumping up and down. And I can imagine her reaching through the crowd, and she could just barely touch the hem of his garment. She had faith to believe that if she could touch his garment, she'd be healed. See, we think faith is God, I believe you can do it, so go ahead. I believe you can do it, but I don't need to go to church. I believe you can do it, but I don't need to read my Bible. I believe you can do it, but I don't need to pray and obey your word. But God, I know you can do it. You know, faith is putting it to action. Faith is, having faith is great, but putting that faith to action is really what faith is. She could have stood back and said, God, I believe you can do it. But she had to have some obedience, some action to her faith. And she came to Jesus. She pushed past through the obstacles of all the people. Said, I'm going to get to Jesus no matter who's in my way. I think of Zacchaeus, the short man, and he went to go and see Jesus that day that was going to pass his way. And what did he do? I can imagine him jumping around looking to see Jesus, and instead he climbed up that tree and he was looking down. He thought, I can't get to him, but at least I could see him. And what did Jesus do? He stopped and he looked up in that tree and said, Zacchaeus, I'm coming to your house today. Aren't you thankful that even though when Jesus is mobbed by a number of people, that he has time for every single person. Isn't that amazing? In the crowds of people that God cared about, a single person. A single person in that crowd. And when she touched the hem of his garment, Jesus Christ knew. He knew who this woman was. She had a desire to get to Jesus. If you want to get to Jesus, know this, that Satan is always going to put obstacles in your way. You ever notice that? You ever say out loud, or maybe you say in your at an altar, or you pray and say, God, I'm going to start reading my Bible. And what does Satan do? He puts every obstacle in your way from reading your Bible, right? He's good at that. How about you do this, parents? You go, tomorrow, we're going to church. That should be every Saturday. I'm going to church. It shouldn't be a question, just we're going. And what happens Sunday morning, right? All the obstacles happen. The kid starts throwing up. If the kid's throwing up, don't bring him to church, by the way. We don't want that obstacle here, all right? All the obstacles seem to come. People calling, can you meet me here? You say, no, because I want to get to Jesus. Satan's good at putting obstacles in the way, isn't he? Sometimes it's our own obstacles. Sometimes it's our own excuses that we put in the way. She had this issue, and I believe, according to this passage, she didn't want anybody to know. In the end, when Jesus was looking for her, she was ashamed, and the Bible says she told him all the truth. Whether she had caused this or not, we don't know, but she told him all that she had done. Sometimes we have the excuse of thinking this, well, if I go to church, what are they going to think about me? They're going to think, praise the Lord, they're in church today. Amen, church? What are they going to think if I go and use the altar? They're going to think, praise the Lord, God is working in their heart and in their life. Too many times, the biggest obstacle we have from getting to Jesus is the person you look at in the mirror, and it's yourself. We think, well, no, it's my spouse, and it's my children, No, the biggest obstacle is you of getting to Jesus. It may be hard to get your life right, but you can get to Jesus. It may take some work. Maybe you're not saved. You say, I need to get to Jesus, but I'm not going to walk. I'm not going to walk down the aisle and trust Jesus Christ as my Savior. It is worth it to get to Jesus. There's obstacles, and many times it's us that we're the biggest obstacles getting to the Lord. She had a desire to get to Jesus Christ. She got to him, and the Bible says she touched the hem of his garment. She touched the hem of his garment. She took action. She put her faith into action. But then I want you to look at verse number 28. The Bible says this. When she came behind him in the press, she said, if I may touch his clothes, she said, I shall be what? Whole. Not a little bit. Not partway. I will be whole, she said. Look at verse 29. It says, and straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up. She said, I'll be whole. Don't you love it that God's healing is immediate and complete. Jesus didn't heal the blind person halfway and give half of their sight. He didn't heal the person that couldn't walk, that maybe like one of their legs walked and the other one they had to drag behind them. When he healed them, what did they do? They went jumping, they went leaping and praising God, received their sight, and people around them would say, we are amazed. We never saw it on this fashion. When Jesus healed someone, he healed them completely. And he healed them immediately. I think of this lastly this morning from hopeless to healed is this. She had a new life. She had a new life. What was in the past is now in the past. The issues she dealt with before, she brought them to Jesus and he healed them completely and immediately. And guess what? She never had to deal with that issue again because Jesus healed her life. Jesus healed her condition. Aren't you thankful that when you come to God that he doesn't save halfway? Aren't you thankful for that? He doesn't say, I'm going to get you halfway to heaven. Now you got to work the rest of your way to heaven. If he did, none of us would make it to heaven. The false religions that say, well, if your good outweighs your bad, you make it to heaven. Guess what? Nobody's good is going to outweigh their bad. It never would. If that was the case, we are all condemned to hell. And we are already. But that if that foolish thinking was true, if God said, I'll get you halfway to heaven, you get the rest of the way there. Aren't you thankful we have a God that saves completely? All the way. And he saves forever. He didn't say, I'll save you now, but now you got to keep it. Now you better be a good person, a good Christian. Do you do that with your children? And you say, well, if you're good, I'll let you stay in the house tonight. If you're really good, I'll feed you today. That would be a terrible parent, all right? I believe in punishment, but not that kind of punishment. That's neglect and abuse. But our Heavenly Father doesn't say, well, if you're good, I'll let you into heaven. He said, if you're saved, you're a child of God, you're on your way to heaven. He saves immediately and completely and forever. Jesus stopped when the hem of his garment was touched, and he said, who touched me? And the disciples go to rebuke Jesus and say, what do you mean? What do you mean, who touched me? Do you see all these people around you? You're like, thanks, Captain Obvious, all right? I knew there's a bunch of people around me. When Jesus asks questions, it's always for a purpose. And it's never because he doesn't know the answer. Think about that. He knows the answer, but he's looking for your response. He's looking for my response. And who touched me? Well, there's people everywhere. What are you talking about? And the Bible says here, he knew that virtue had gone out. He said, who had touched me? And the Bible says in verse number 32, I love this verse. I believe that, as we learned in Sunday school today, every word of God is pure. Do you believe that God put every word in the Bible for a reason? He doesn't need our help to add to it, take away. In verse number 32, and it says, and he looked around to see, what's the next word? Her. How did he know who she was? How did he know this woman? In God's foreknowledge. He knew this woman was coming. He knew she was pushing through the press. He knew that she had touched his garment, but he stopped for a moment to teach a lesson to everyone that although there was many people around him, one person had the faith that said, I want to get to him. I want to touch his garment. And he said, he was looking for her. He was looking for her. You ever look through a crowd and you're like, where are they? What were they wearing? And then you spot who they are. And he found this woman. He was looking for her. One person truly got Jesus' attention. Aren't you thankful? Doesn't say her name here, but Jesus knew her name. He knew who she was. He knew her condition. He knew everything about her life, and he knew her faith. He knew her faith that she came to touch because she wanted to be healed. She wasn't just part of the crowd. She was important to Jesus. She wasn't just one of the people. She came to see Jesus, and Jesus healed her. Look at verse number 34. After this woman came falling at his feet and told him all the truth, and he said unto her, verse 34, daughter, thy faith hath made thee, what's the next word again? Whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. He healed her, a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. When you meet Jesus, you never leave the same. Amen? When you get saved, you never leave the same. She came. She got complete healing, not halfway, not most of the way. She got healed completely. Just like this woman, maybe you came this morning and you said, I've got some problems. And if we're all honest, we come to Jesus and say, God, I've got problems. I've got issues. We can all look good on the outside. We can all play the part, but God knows the heart. God knows the issues that we are facing. You can try to take care of it on your own. You can be that stubborn, prideful, strong-willed person. God, I don't need you. I can do it on my own. God, I'll let you know if I need your help. How foolish is that? How foolish is that? God, I'll let you know when I need you. I've got the rest of it. I'll let you do the hard stuff. I've got the easy stuff. How foolish does that sound? You can take care of it on your own. You can try to seek man's help. Say, God, after I've asked everyone else, I'll come to you. Isn't that foolish to do? After I've sought all earthly opinions and wisdom, then I'll come to you, God. Or we, like this woman, can just simply bring it to Jesus. There's nothing that God cannot heal. There's nothing that God cannot help. There's no answer that God does not have. God has the answers for every problem, all the healing that we would ever need. I'm not saying that God's going to take everything away. God may choose to allow that trial, that health condition, whatever it is in your life, but God will help you. As he told this woman, he said, go in peace and be whole of thy plague. If it's a burden, we need to lay it down at Jesus' feet. Too many times we try carrying our own burdens, and maybe we, for some today, say, God, I've been carrying this burden long enough. I want to give it up to you. You get to that place that, God, I can't do anything else. I can't carry it any longer. I'm going to lay it at your feet. What a great place to be, laying it at the feet of Jesus Christ. If it's sin, you need to confess and get it right. That issue in your life maybe is that you're carrying and battling with sin and holding on to it long enough, and you need to bring that and get it right with the Savior. Maybe today it's your condition that you're lost, that you're on your way to hell, you're not saved, and you need to come to the Savior and say, Lord, I'm lost. I'm on my way to hell. I'm going to stop trying to have you do part, I do part. It's all salvation is 100% on Jesus, not of me. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the what? Gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Say, God, I come to you by faith, receiving that gift of salvation. Maybe you're in a hopeless situation. Come to Jesus. Maybe you think you've got it all figured out. Well, then you need to bring it to Jesus as well. Head bowed and eyes closed this morning. If God spoke to your heart, would you respond? That's what the